Blog Talk Radio.
Good day. My name is Marcus Jarvis. I'm an immigration attorney in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Immigration law is international, local, and national. So in other words, we can represent individuals from around the world. If you ever have an immigration problem, please check us out at www.m-jlawlimited.com. Today's broadcast deals with what's referred to as DACA 2 and DAPA. On November 20th, 2014, the President of the United States issued two executive orders. One of them called Deferred Action for Children, Childhood Arrivals, DACA 2, as distinguished from DACA 1 that was implemented June 15, 2012, and also DAPA, which means Deferred Action for Parent Accountability. And what these executive orders intended to do is to help streamline the removal process. In other words, if you can demonstrate things like you have been in the USA before January 1 of 2010, you have no significant crimes, that you can show your presence throughout the years, and you have children born in the USA, or your children could be green card holders, you can apply for DAPA as a parent. Also, if you are a child, you came before the age of 15, and you can demonstrate that you have been here in the USA before 1-1-2010, you have no significant crimes, you can apply. There are some educational requirements also. So, as stated earlier, that these executive actions were implemented November 20th, 2014, and DACA 2 was supposed to take effect about February 18th, 2015, and DAPA, which would cater for parents who have children, should come into effect May 20th, 2015. Anyway, some states, Texas being the lead state, decided that they were going to bring an action to circumvent those executive orders. And they sought a federal court in Brownsville, Texas, and that judge, about 2 days before the implementation of DACA 2, ordered that the programs be halted. And what the judge basically did was to issue an injunction. An injunction is a legal maneuver, it's quick, that forces an individual or company, let's say a party, to do something. Or it could be the opposite, where it prohibits a party from doing something. So in this case, the federal government was prohibited from implementing DACA 2 and DAPA. Anyway, the United States government decided to appeal that decision to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Well, the states grouped together to form circuits, and Texas is in the Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit sits in Louisiana. That's where the Fifth Circuit sits. So an appeal was taken to the Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit sided with the lower court and kept the injunction in place. The government, which is the U.S. government, decided to use another approach at the Fifth Circuit. Again, the Fifth Circuit said that it's going to keep the injunction in place. The Fifth Circuit sat on the decision for about, after all arguments, sat on the decision for about 90 days or more. And I know you had people protesting that. And it seems as if that got them to make a decision. I believe it was by November 10th of 2015. So the United States took an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, most matters at the U.S. Supreme Court are based on what's called writ of certiorari. And that simply means that it's a writ seeking judicial review. It is issued by a superior court, in this case, the U.S. Supreme Court, directing the law court, tribunal, or other public authority to send a record of proceeding for review. Well, there is one technicality here that the federal government needs to overcome. The justices of the Supreme Court have to vote in deciding whether it's going to take this appeal. So that has not been accomplished at this point. I believe that that will be accomplished, you know, hopefully in the month of January. This is January 2nd, 2016. And hopefully over the next few weeks that the justices, I think four of them, need to vote in favor of taking that case. If they vote to take the case, then they will invite the parties to maybe provide additional brief and schedule the matter for oral arguments. And usually the final decision comes out sometime before the 30th of June each year. So everybody is hopeful that both DAPA and DACA 2 will go forward. Well, keep in mind that one issue that was argued on both sides is the issue of standing. Standing simply means, does the cause of action put forward by Texas in this case, the various courts have jurisdiction, in other words, the power to hear Texas's case. If the Supreme Court determines that it has standing to take the case, the court could find we have standing, but we're going to still rule in favor of the United States. In other words, the executive orders will be implemented. The court can find that it has standing and keep the injunction in place. The court could decide to send the matter back to the lower courts to develop the record on certain issues. If the court, the U.S. Supreme Court, determines that it does not have standing to hear the case, well, the matter is resolved in the government's favor, United States' favor, and the executive actions go forward. Well, some things to look at are that it's very likely that the justices will hear this case. One reason is that if limits are not placed on the states, this decision could open the floodgates of litigation where states are constantly suing the federal government, and that may not be good because the federal government is the supreme government of the United States as distinguished from state and local governments. And if you have the law governments undermining the federal government in every case, that would not be good for us as United States citizens and other individuals who live in the USA. So that's one aspect that I believe is going in favor of United States. Another issue is that another point in favor of the United States government is that this is an issue of national importance, and I just don't believe that the court wants to ignore such an issue of national importance. Over the years, every president has issued executive orders relating to immigration and other matters, and the federal government has the authority to implement or carry out the immigration laws. And giving relief to DACA and DAPA recipients is a way of streamlining the process so that the limited funds can be used for individuals who are going to interfere with the national security of the United States. So there's just not enough money to do the work of implementing the U.S. immigration laws. Also, a lot of people talk about mass deportation. And anytime an individual has been in the USA for more than, let's say, a year or so, before you remove them from the United States, assuming that they don't want to go willingly, they have to be accorded what's called due process of law. Due process of law is a very broadly defined term. I seem to remember it's called like a slippery term. It has many definitions, but it usually centered around some sort of fairness. So in other words, you have to, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement has to issue what's called a notice to appear. A notice to appear is similar to a criminal complaint, and it kind of states the facts. You're not a citizen or national of the United States. You're a citizen and national of Antigua and Barbuda. You came to the U.S. as a student. You did not go to school, or you finished school and you overstayed your visa. And based on these laws, you're deportable, or you could have committed a crime, and those are some of the bases for removing you. Now, as a respondent, you have an opportunity to respond to that. A judge also wants to know what kind of relief you may be seeking to help you stay in the USA. And some relief can only be given in an immigration court. In other words, an immigration judge has the exclusive authority to give certain benefits. So sometimes being in deportation could be a good thing. So keep in mind that you always have due process, because a judge has to determine if you're deportable based on the facts. And if a judge determines that the Immigration and Customs Enforcement has not made a proper case, then the judge is going to dismiss the notice to appear, which is similar, very similar to a criminal complaint. I know Texas argued that it has standing because when individuals get a work permit, they are going to apply for a driver's license, and it would cause the state to have to maybe hire more people, put a few more things in place, and it's going to cost a lot of money. But the flip side of that is that I don't believe Texas issues driver's license for free. So it's going to be getting income based on that. Plus, it can just charge a little bit more for these individuals. I know that some people, when they get a work permit, they also get a Social Security number. Well, that is free from the United States federal government. So I'm not sure what's Texas's argument. Texas also argued that the executive action in these matters, the president exceeded his authority in implementing them. And they feel that these matters are better handled by Congress. Congress makes the immigration laws. The president signs the bill into law. And the courts determine if a particular law is constitutional. So those are the three branches of government. As I stated earlier, executive orders by a president is not new. It's not a new thing. Also keep in mind that DACA 1, in other words, the DACA that was implemented on June 15, 2012, is still in effect. One requirement is that you have to be age 15 before you can apply for it. So even though you've been in the U.S. at a tender age, let's say 13, 14, or even younger, you have to wait until you're age 15 before you can actually apply. So some people may have met the requirements subsequent to the announcement of DACA 1. Some people just never applied and you're still qualified today. If you are below age 31 when it was announced, and you're even over 31 today, once you qualified, became qualified on June 15, 2012, you still can apply for DACA one today. My name is Marcus Jarvis. I'm an immigration attorney in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Immigration work is both local, national, and international in scope. We bring a lot of people from around the world, whether it's on green card, different work visas like H-1B, L-1 visas, you name it. Give us a call. Recently, I wrote a book called A Simple Guide to the Immigration Laws of the United States, What You Need to Know When You Come to America. One of the things that drove me to write this book is because I see a lot of people commit crimes. And committing crimes, even as a green card holder, some crimes can get you deported. Any crime can potentially get you deported in the USA. I wrote the book. It's called A Simple Guide. You can find it at a-tbooks.com. You might be able to go to Barnes & Noble. Just go to Barnes & Noble and search Marcus Jarvis and you'll see the books. The book is in print book in English and Spanish. It's in an ebook app in English, Spanish, Portuguese, French, Italian, German. I believe I said Spanish before, but six languages. And it's also an audiobook in English. So give us a call and stay strong. Don't commit crimes. Have a good day.